Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas. Home of the chew toy, because there's so many friggin' dogs here. Also, probably home of like a fair amount of dog kink play. There are a few not secret, really, clubs, venues, musical venues even, which are very kind of open space planned venues where people engage pretty openly in various forms of cosplay that kind of runs the gamut of all the nerd niche interests that you can possibly think of, you know, medieval cosplay, fantasy creature cosplay, video gaming cosplaying, and or cover bands that just exclusively play covers of Mario Brothers theme songs and the like. And so there's also a fair amount of kink play in the communities in Austin. Listen, I want to tell you something. The people of Austin want you to know, okay, that they are very, 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 very liberal, very, 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 very liberal, free, open-minded, and gay. That's what they want you to know here in Austin. And that they, if you put a collar on them, they will kind of just give you, you know, give you 5 minutes to plead your case on why they should be dragged by a leash down 36th Street on their faces. So, on their hands and knees. So, this is Austin, okay? This is Austin. They really want you to know that they're very gay here. They're so gay. It's crazy. New York City is just objectively a gazillion times gayer than Austin. Nobody is bragging about it there. You want to know why? They're too busy being gay and having a wonderful time. Here, do I have to say it? We're surrounded by Texas. So they're overcompensating. And hey, go and overcompensate, I guess, because either way, you know, the grass gets mowed, the houses get cleaned, you know, things happen. I'm talking about Mexicans, okay? Either way, we still all should be thanking Mexicans for the ability to engage in recreational politics. So, that's great. Anyway, moving on. What's going on in the news? Yay! I got so much news, a bucket of news for you. So first, in foreign policy, we got the Trump administration reportedly giving authorization to the Central Intelligence Agency to conduct covert operations in Venezuela. Now we're going to have, in AI apocalypse news, Sam Altman's going to sexualize ChatGPT. In the latest in technocrat news, we got the Justice Department asking Meta to take down a Facebook group where members shared information about ICE agents in Chicago. Ooh. Plus, health officials weighing whether to remove aluminum salts from vaccines. Ooh. Damn. This is Maha Blast. Then we got vigilante news. We're going to close out with that. Finally, arsonist who targeted Governor Josh Shapiro's home gets up to 50 years. Yes, that guy looks like a real loser. Anyway, let's get started. What's going on? Foreign policy. Foreign policy. What's going on with me with foreign policy, huh? Well, I got a passport, and that's it. I recommend everybody always have a passport. And it's not because I feel like we're in some period where things are particularly on fire, like most people keep repeating. What's on fire is your anxiety. Your anxiety is on fire. And it's not that, it's more the suspense the suspense is driving people insane of what's going to happen. We know that there's a singularity approaching. Somehow we feel it. Singularity, by the way, being just a new 21st century term of like, shit's about to go down and I can feel it in my fucking tits, you know? And we've been feeling it. And it's, you know, when it started, I think, at 9/11. Ever since 9/11, it's been slowly building. Something is happening. And it's anybody's guess as to what that thing's going to be. We don't know. Is AI going to kill us all? Oh, is AI not going to kill us all and instead usher in a utopian golden age of free massages and universal basic income and everyone's just hugging and cuddling in the streets and we're just on Molly and we live to 200 years old and we just eat chocolate all day? I don't know. One or the other. Man, I don't know. Is it going to be a global war? Is there going to be a nuclear holocaust? You know what I mean? Are we going back to feudalism? Neo-feudalism, perhaps? Techno-feudalism. How about that? That sounds kind of badass, actually. Techno-feudalism. What are we doing? What's happening to Amazon? Can we still order things on Amazon in this future? What's happening? Are we going to be inconvenienced in any way? Some people don't care about anything but that. Yeah, open up the surveillance floodgates. Stick a camera up my asshole. But please, please, por favor, do not take away my Amazon Prime membership, please, my friend. So, I don't know. We know it's going to happen. It could also be something more ancient than we even understand. It could just be some kind of weird human cycle of destruction and rebirth. We could be approaching some destructive era that we just do, almost like a forest fire that needs to happen so that new undergrowth can thrive. It could just be something old and ancient, like Rene Girard was talking about, right? Where people, maybe we're too big. Maybe we're too, you know, our networks are too big. We're too hyper aware of how not unique we each are, right? You see a version of yourself on the internet across the world on camera, right? There's no true individuality if you have to confront the fact that there are many versions of you everywhere, many iterations. You're not unique. And not only that, but if you want to do anything in this internet space and that person gets there first, well, then that person got to you, slice of the internet attention pie before you did, and now you're nothing and you can be nothing, right? Like, there can only be one Eminem. If a guy comes out sounding just like Eminem, unironically, there's no place for him. He's just a knockoff. And so that's a problem, right? And we're in some subtle, I don't know. It could be that. It could just be the fact that our primitive monkey brains can't handle the fact that there's too many of each one of us, and that there can only be one or a few. There can only be one in your circle. So one of two things has to happen. Complete world war free-for-all until we have whittled down the population to where we never feel threatened, or, you know, our access to any resources or position socially in this space ever, because they're all dead and you win and there you go, take your place online, go start your YouTube channel, go with God. Or they basically, technocrats, I mean, people, tech companies, right? They basically blind us. They put blinders on us and limit our ability to actually interact with each other, you know, past certain limited networks, localized, so that we never see past them and feel overwhelmed by the sheer amount of humanity, masses that are out there. And what you have to, what you're actually, you know, up against when it comes to being unique and resource accumulation and all that shit. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? This is a very complicated idea, but I'm just saying, we know something's going to happen. Okay. We know. We don't know what it is. And so for some people, when they look into that vast darkness of not knowing, they start to project their fears onto it. And that's also kind of the beginning of the primitive monkey brain spinning up. You start to project, you know, demons out of that darkness, out of that unknown. And then the demons start to take a face. And then the face kind of, as is natural, because, you know, you're just a human being. You have your human psychology. It just, the faces start to become familiar. They become the faces of people that are obstacles to you in your life. They become one. It becomes a symbol of your fear. And then you begin to demonize, right? And when you start to demonize, what does that happen? What next thing you got to ramp up? Because what do we do with demons? We defeat them. How do we defeat them? We slay them. Why? Because that's the holy war. That's why. That's the mission. The mission is that good should win over evil. And now evil just happens to be the uncle that you hate on Thanksgiving dinner who voted for Trump 6 times, even though Trump only ran for like 2 times or 3 times. You know what I'm saying? The uncle that has the Trump 2028 bumper sticker is the ha ha ha, right? And he thinks it's hilarious. And you're like, this is a demon. I must rid myself. And then now you have vigilantes. They're coming out of the woodwork. They're trying to shoot people in the face because these are demons to them, right? You can call them whatever you want. You can call them Nazis or fascists or whatever, but they're demons. They're the new demons. And we are fucking gunning. We are gearing up. All right. We are locked and loaded for the next crusade / jihad / holy war, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Okay. And we can go anyway. This flood of righteous anger, fury, can go in any direction at this point. And it, depending on how far your vantage point is, like how pulled back you are, you see it at whatever level you see it at. But we're all, it doesn't matter. You could be the most pulled back person. The problem is like when you're pulled back all the way, it's because you're not even a part of your society. So it doesn't matter how much you can see ahead of everybody, no one can hear you. So you're in a, it's a weird, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Listen, this is what is happening with me, okay? So I don't know if what everything I said just kind of boils down to that. But I've been thinking and reading a lot about a shit. And this is kind of what I'm seeing, okay? Anyway, so foreign policy. Trump administration, speaking of demonizing, has reportedly given authorization to the Central Intelligence Agency to conduct covert operations in Venezuela, allowing the agency to carry out lethal operations in the country and other operations in the Caribbean. Great. This feels like an article that I could have read circa the news 1950 or so, or something like that. 1960, 70, 80, and even 90, actually. So I guess we're back to that, right? Trump has authorized the Central Intelligence Agency, okay? They're going to covertly carry out lethal operations in Venezuela. This is what they're saying, including against Nicolas Maduro's regime. Trump says, I authorized it for 2 reasons. Number one, they have emptied their prisons into the United States, Trump said at a press conference on Wednesday. The other thing is drugs. We have a lot of drugs coming in from Venezuela. American forces have killed 27 people in what Trump called narco-terrorist boats off the Venezuelan coast. Narco-terrorist. I guess that's a new word for a demon that we must fight at all costs. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes. Listen, if there's going to be any country making money off of drugs, if there's going to be any group, any cartel, it should be the United States of America, okay? Because then maybe they could afford to give us universal health care. Think about it, okay? If the government takes over drug selling operations in controlled environments, of course, cocaine and all the other ones, then fentanyl, crystal meth, then perhaps we could use the revenue from that. And we can't. That's the problem, is that those drugs, aside from cocaine, are not the drugs of very, very wealthy people. And if they are, they don't stay wealthy for that long because those drugs are too crazy. Cocaine, on the other hand, I really, don't know. I think, what are we going to do with cocaine? That's what I want to know. I mean, here's the thing. Venezuela doesn't really have anything to do with that. In the sense that, aside from, probably being some kind of drug Silk Road or some kind of but what all countries in Latin America kind of are, even in the Caribbean, you know, drugs get funneled through a lot of channels. I wouldn't say that Venezuela is it. I'm not sure though. I don't know. I don't have intel. I don't have the latest intel on that. But what Venezuela does have, let's be real, is oil. They have oil. They have a lot of oil. So I would say that the third reason, I would say that there's more than two reasons, okay, that they are doing this. It's also because of oil, number three. And number four, because we don't want to release the Epstein files. So I think that it's admirable that they are working so hard to distract us from the Epstein files and all that. But this is not going to put a dent in cocaine. And it never is. They'll never touch cocaine unless they can somehow take control of it and maybe, you know, refashion cocaine into some pill that's acceptable through Big Pharma. Because cocaine, without cocaine, this country would collapse. This country would literally collapse from withdrawal. From it would come to a screeching halt. No cocaine, when everything in this country is corporate run, corporations, high productivity, high focus requirements, rabid aggression requirements, pep requirements constant. You have to be peppy, but you also have to go out for happy hour and get drinks. You think that's going to happen without cocaine? Are you out of your fucking mind? And don't get me started, because Adderall is lame in compared to cocaine. Cocaine gets the job done. Adderall is not, I don't think it's as good of a productivity drug because it doesn't give you aggression at that, to the degree that cocaine does. And that's why cocaine, we cannot not, like, America doesn't run on Duncan, okay? America runs on Diego, the fucking leader of whatever cartel in whatever fucking province in Mexico, okay? That's what America runs on. America runs on coca, okay? Coca. And, you know, Coca-Cola, but coca. Coca leaves. That's what America runs on. It's not, coffee just helps. Coffee is just a thing you can carry around in your hand, a latte, as an excuse for why your nose is running and your hands are shaking and you're jittery and you just can't stop talking, okay? You blame it on the latte, but really you did like three bumps before you even got into the office that morning. And you have to. The problem is in this country is that you either become a rabid, cocaine-fueled worker bee in some corporation, some high-powered corporation, or adjacent to it. You can be a consultant. You could be anything, but you have to work in that economy of mega corporations and their cottage industries that they that spring up in their wake, okay? These giant sharks, you have to work in them, and the only way to do it is to become a shark. And the best way to become a shark is to do copious amounts of cocaine. And then not only that, if you're doing cocaine and you're in this high-powered, like, seven-figure job, six-figure, whatever the fuck, right? Your kids, you also want them to achieve, right? Because the most terrifying thing to the people that work in these companies is being poor. They are fucking terrified of being poor. The place I live in right now, lots of people are working in that space, adjacent to it, in it, of it, like they get it. And they want, or a startup, right? They want to be a part of it. They want to make moves. And the level of anxiety that they have about their kids' success is unparalleled, okay? I have also, you know, I grew up in a low income community in the Bronx, okay, and Washington Heights and stuff, right? I have lived in a developing country. I went to high school in the Dominican Republic, okay? I see how people who aren't completely fucking insane raise their kids, and they raise their kids gently, and it's fun, and they're not looking at their kids like their kids are going to be the next Einstein. They're just looking to give their kids exactly what they need. They're looking to enjoy their kids, have fun with their kids, dance with their kids, sing to their fucking kids, okay? These parents over here, I don't know if they've ever spoken to these kids without it being about an itinerary for the day for these kids, okay? Okay, the minute they're up at dawn, these kids are horseback riding. They're doing like a kid's version of CrossFit. Okay. And then their parents are also projecting, because their parents are projecting their anxieties. They think it's their dreams, but it's their pure sheer terror of being poor onto their kids by wishful thinking onto their kids what their kids are going to be when they grow up, right? Like, oh, this person's a leader. This person's going to be an alpha female. This person's clearly like super artistic and special. Everyone's artistic. Everyone's a leader. They're autistic, if anything. Okay, like these kids are, they're just kids, okay? But the thing is, and their parents are, let me also say this. Their parents are absolutely right, by the way, okay? That's what it takes to not fall through the cracks in this fucking country, okay? Because you don't want to be low income in this country. It's not fun. If you fall through those cracks, you can't get back up. It's very hard. So they're trying to actually help their kids. And the problem with that is the only way to help your kid in this country is to introduce them to Adderall as soon as possible and give them their fucking itinerary. You staple that fucking itinerary onto their foreheads. You shove a bottle of Adderall into their hands, because that's just baby cocaine, okay? And you boot them off to some kind of summer camp where elite children frolic with other elite children. You try to shove your kid into those spaces as much as possible. And then if you ever talk about your kid to other adults, you don't waste a second, okay? You don't just say, "Hey, Ella, you know, oh, Jennifer's nice or whatever." No, okay? You have to be pitching this kid to other people. Children, you have to pitch your children to other adults, okay? Like that adult might be the CEO of some fucking company one day. You don't know. Okay, so you always speak about your children in terms of curriculum vitae language, and that's it. Okay, like, oh, look, she's always had a proclivity towards storytelling and leadership, and also look at the way she handles that camera phone. She speaks through it. Okay, she speaks through it with zooming and pulling and zooming in and zooming out, and look at her stare at those fishes through her camera lens, her phone lens, okay? She's special. She's a special little girl. She's going to be a big filmmaker one day. Maybe. I don't know. She's definitely a storyteller. That's one thing it's like everyone's a storyteller and a leader and very fit. And that's what they need these kids to be. And so horseback riding, I don't know if that's even still relevant. Elites now, do they still do that? I don't know. But maybe the British ones do. But, you know, like I said, but these people's whole lives, I mean, without cocaine, I don't know that most of them would make it. So cocaine is a performance enhancer in this country. Adderall is a performance enhancer as well for younger groups. Ask any Asian in college how many of their Asian friends are not taking loads of Adderall to learn the violin, to do well in math, to do whatever. So you need to deal with that first before you do anything about drug cartels. I mean, the drug cartels, what the fuck are they even? I bet the drug cartels are just a front for this government, for just like, not even this government, but just like actual respectable, perfectly respectable pharmaceutical companies and other kinds of things. And the cartels are just kind of they're the mercenaries, right? They're the guys that got to get their hands dirty. Okay, they got to go into South America and get those coca leaves at gunpoint, where they point it at families that they kidnap or whatever. So, yeah, that's never going to get solved. It's not meant to get solved. Instead, they're going to just, you know, bomb Venezuela. That's the solution. Because, you know, Americans are very impressed with that. But again, it's because we're on so much cocaine here. We're on so many drugs here that there's no other... that it's really easy to impress us, because people on cocaine, it's like action movies. It's just like watching Bloodsport. The president bombs Venezuela or any other country or any place. You know, troops in Chicago, and a coke fueled upper middle class person would just be like, yeah, you know, this is fucking awesome. They don't even know what's going on. It just looks awesome if you're on cocaine. So I don't know. I don't know what we expect. I don't know why you expect anything to get better in that regards, but it's never going to get better because we can't. America can't run without cocaine. And that's it. That's it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break it to you. Anyway, in AI apocalypse news, we got Sam Altman sexualizing ChatGPT. Amazing. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman says ChatGPT will soon allow erotica for adult users. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Well, that's the, you know, sex sells. And that's the thing. It's like they want you to want AI so badly. They want you to want it. And the problem is nobody wants it. So now they're going to try to manipulate us by creating parasocial and sexual relationships so that they can get their hooks in us emotionally, our libidos, our vulnerabilities, you know, get dirt on us when we ask ChatGPT too many questions, which many of you have. I've talked to people who are treating ChatGPT like it's a psychiatrist, retarded. And that's what they want, because they can't. And then when they can't do that, they're doing it the other way, which is the real contemptible way, which is what Meta's doing, which they try to make all of their products for companies to make their employees use so that you don't have a choice, right? So they try to sell it to the companies. So then the companies, it's like, you either do this or you get fired. And that's how they get people to get on board with anything. So anyway, CEO Sam Altman, but now they want you to have sex with your computer. CEO Sam Altman, sex with your computer. Yeah, we're all going to have sex with our computers. It's going to be amazing. Oh, yeah. You're going to go with your computer. Yeah, sexy. All right, so CEO Sam Altman said October 15th that his company's decision to roll out age-gated features on its chatbot ChatGPT blew up on the erotica point more than he had intended. Yeah, okay. And then they're going to present it like that. It's like, hey, it's not my fault. It's what you're asking for. But, you know, I do believe him, though, on the other hand, because this is about capitalism, okay? And this is about, it's about more than, it's not really about capitalism, right? As without, because you can't just say capitalism without considering the other shoe, right? Which is us, which is the consumer. And it's the consumerism, it's the materialism, right? It's the fact that most people just give a shit about putting things in their holes. And that's all they have time for. So like cocaine, right? You put it in your nose. We like yummy foods, put it in our mouths. We like alcohol. Sometimes we put it up our butts. Okay, we put a lot of stuff up our butts now, in our ears, right? We are stuffing our holes, and they're glad to give it to us. So this is the reason why, on the one hand, you know, the healthcare situation is a two-parter, because on the one hand, these companies are absolutely taking advantage of us, overprescribing, doing shit like that. There's a lot of corruption, etc. But then on the other hand, they are also trying to optimize for profitability and everything, because people are taking it. They keep trying to game the healthcare system to get drugs sometimes when they don't need them. So it's not just overprescription. consumers are pressuring these companies to give them fucking drugs for everything that I said before, for performance enhancement. And every doctor and shit, whatever company, healthcare company that said, no, this is unethical, basically lost their licenses, went out of business. They're gone. And the people in their place are feckless, and they don't give a shit, right? They don't have these noble, high-minded ideas about what's best for the patient, right? They're like, oh, you want the drugs? Here's the fucking drugs, okay? So this is just something that's happening, okay? And it's reaching some kind of saturation point. I don't know what's going to happen. But now we have sex. Now we're going to have sex with our robots. So, you know, that's cool. Altman previously announced on October 14th in a post on X that the company will relax some restrictions on the artificial intelligence chatbot and release a version that behaves more like what people liked about 40. OpenAI will allow mature content for ChatGPT users who verify their age on the platform starting in December. Yeah, okay. How are you going to verify your age? Oh, and that's another thing, right? So how do we even know? Like, this could just be like a trick to get guys to to basically start divulging their identities online. And I say guys because, let's be real, guys are going to fall for this first because it's sex. Okay, so like, women are going to be for a while like, I don't know, this doesn't make me feel safe. Women will fall for something else, but guys will for sure fall for a robot, a robot pussy, right? And she's like, oh my god, Steve, I fucking, you're so hot and I just want you to fuck me. And you better, right? And Steve is gonna be like, yeah. She's like, you wanna fuck me? Yeah. Oh my god, Steve, you look and fuck me. I'm like, yeah, I do, yeah. It's like, okay. I just need you to verify your identity online by taking a picture of your driver's license front and back and sending it to this email address, or, you know, submitting it alongside with your latest utility bill in order to prove a place of living, and also your credit card information, and then we can fuck, Steve, right? And he's gonna be like, yeah. He's gonna, so if I give you that, we can fuck. Yeah, like, here you go. And then, you know, she's gonna be like, okay, now we can fuck. And that's what's gonna happen with all the men. And the women will probably fall for some other dumb bullshit. I don't know, something on The View, maybe. Some opinion piece. And then they all go, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And even then, that's going to be women over 40. I don't know what's going to happen with the 20-year-olds. 20-year-old girls are just like feral at this point. They're just running wild. Let's see. Yeah, look, and now he's going to make it, and he's making it look virtuous. So he goes, as part of our treat adult users like adults principle. Yeah, you have principles now. You have principles, Sam Altman. Okay, we will allow even more, like erotica for verified adults. Man, this is just, the way they gain, the okay, yeah, you're virtuous for doing it. That's great. Treat adults like adults. The company is not rolling back any restrictions related to mental health and defended the company's treat adult users like adult principle. I mean, again, with the principle. That's not a principle. Treat adults like adults? That's a principle? Okay. Listen, what's a principle? Let's look it up. Okay. Principle. Definition. It's not a high school faculty member, okay? A basic truth, law, or assumption, rule, or standard, especially of good behavior. Treating adults like adults is not good or bad. It's nothing. It's a nothing behavior. It's a nothing burger behavior. It's you said nothing. You made some neutral statement and called it a principle, okay? That's like, treat the number one like the number one. Who gives a shit, okay? He's doing like derivative math here. He's just like exploding out a statement into its many subparts and then just like doing like word math to make it seem like you're actually doing something different, and you're not. It's just a different visual on the same idea. Anyway, As AI becomes more important in people's lives, allowing a lot of freedom for people to use AI in the ways that they want is an important part of our mission. Yeah, okay, freedom. You know, the more AI and social media and just like tech controls and surveils more and more of our lives, the more that they use words like creativity, freedom, social, it's crazy. It's like the opposite shit is happening. He added that ChatGPT users experiencing mental health crises will be treated very different. What does that mean? And the chatbot will not be allowed to create things that cause harm to others. Yeah, okay. What does that mean? They're still, what they're going to do is, if you speak erratic or if you type erratically or speak erratically or have some kind of indicator that shows that you have a mental health issue or you're experiencing some kind of crisis, they're going to funnel you over to a licensed drug peddler who's going to give you drugs, and they're going to be able to get probably a kickback on that, actually. So they're just kind of finalizing the big mouse maze that has become every one of our lives with social engineering, now that they know how to really use that at a level of sophistication that's unprecedented, where they like every moment of your life is just gamified. Whenever, because you have to use your phone for everything, and everything on your phone is just rigged to influence you. Even the people that you're watching on social media are influencers. Everybody is meant to engineer you through to the paths that they have predetermined so that they can sell you shit. Everything in your mind is becoming a shopping mall. Do you understand? Like, you in your head, you are being influenced constantly to live your life as if you're walking through a climate controlled hallway and things are bombarding you on either side and enticing you to buy them, to consume them, to make them a part of you somehow. And I, for one, would love to move to the woods. Let's see. So yeah, that's going to be, now you can have sex with your robot, girlfriend. So, you know, I mean, that's good for you if you want that. I don't know. Anyway, in other news, health officials are weighing whether to remove aluminum salts from vaccines, a move that could upend about half of all childhood shots in the United States. We're talking about polio, whooping cough, flu, HPV, and hepatitis A. Yeah, okay. The Food and Drug Administration launched the review after President Trump said aluminum in vaccines was harmful during his Tylenol press conference. Health Secretary RFK Jr. has supported researchers who have been trying to link aluminum in vaccines to autism, but scientists say that these claims don't hold up, blah, 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 and they've been safely used since the 1920s. Ingredient strengthens the immune response. Okay. I mean, I don't know. Helps vaccines work longer. I mean, do it. Look, what the fuck is the point of having, large language models to help with scientific innovation? What is the point of any scientific innovation whatsoever if you can't just replace aluminum salts? I mean, use something else. People don't like it, okay? They don't want it. People don't want food coloring in their foods. Remove it. What is this thing where we're at this point where, like, now it's like you have to do it because we say so bullshit. Okay? You can't just decide when we don't get to be instantly gratified with what we want. All right? This is a consumer society. We want to consume what we want to consume. We want instant gratification. We're on a lot of fucking cocaine. Please stop wasting our time. All right? Give us the vaccines without aluminum salts. Put something else in there. You can't find anything else aside from aluminum salts. Put something else. Put creatine. People love creatine. Inject us with creatine/polio virus. Okay? Come on. Just... give us what we want. Give us what we want, or just do things ethically or morally, actually. Or do the moral thing, or give us what we want. It can't be both. It can't be both. We can't live in two paradigms like that. It's deranging. It's bipolar. So I don't know. I say yes, remove aluminum salts, okay? Because it's just unpopular. All right? When people went keto, there's a little pushback. But now there's keto stuff for everybody. Everybody who wants to do keto can do keto, right? It doesn't matter what the fuck we do here. They're always going to demonize it at first because they can't find a way to make money off of it. And then the minute they find a way to make money off of it, it's like, come on in. Think of every single movement that's happened over the last 20 to 50 years. It's all in here now. It's all a part of us now. You can be anything you want here. You could be hippie. You could be a beatnik. You could be a MAHA. You could be a MAGA. You can be a liberal. You can be a progressive. You could be woke. You could be Antifa. All right? You could be anything you want here. You can be anything. You can be pro-Palestine. You could be pro-Israel. Nobody, we don't care about the morality of anything here. What we care about is, can we make money off of it? Can we use it to market? Can it become a marketing ploy or not? If it can't, we don't want it. That's why the hippie movement didn't even last that long. Not the real hippie movement, because it was anti-consumer. And that shit's gone, okay? Gone. Gone with the fucking wind. Because the wind, you can't make money off the wind either. Not yet. Okay? So we don't give a fuck about the wind here. We don't give a shit about anything. We make money off of politics now. That's why it's huge now. Did anybody give a fuck about the WNBA until recently? Until we figured out how to make money off of it through using politics, right? They didn't know that they could combine grievance politics with the WNBA to make money. Plus, you know, female objectification, never mind, right? You can't, men, here's the one advantage women have in sports, the real one, okay? Men can't be sexy women, but women can, and that's the difference. The WNBA is a little tough, right? Because they are sexy women for a certain demographic of people. Let's call them lesbians, mostly. And also men who, you know, like this strong Amazonian body type, right? But now they've managed to make it attractive to the general population by infusing politics, right? Because when you make something political, people will blind themselves to say what they need to say to be the winner. So that's kind of where we're at. So I don't know. Take the aluminum salts out. Put something else. Put creatine. Put a protein powder. Inject us with protein powder. Okay. What are some other compounds that are commercially acceptable? I don't know. Put in some. What else? What do we got? Put in some beef. Put in some ground up beef. Is that too hard? Put some collagen. There we go. Collagen. People love collagen. I wouldn't worry too much about your kids because it doesn't matter. Look, what your kids need to do is take Adderall more than anything else, more than vaccines. More than vaccines, they need to take Adderall. Because otherwise they're going to be poor. And poverty is what kills you. Poverty, okay? Not being unvaccinated. Because if you're unvaccinated and you're rich, you can buy a private island and quarantine yourself whenever there's anything going on. Any pandemic? It doesn't matter. Just go to your private island and you just sit in the sun. Sunshine is great. For pandemics, for sicknesses, for a lot of them. And if you're poor, you can't. And so that is the real thing here. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not. It matters if you're poor. And so what you want to do is vaccinate yourself against poverty. And the only way to do that is with drugs and delusion and fear. And that's what you really got to consider here. And you got to do it soon, okay? Because you don't want to be on the poor side when AI really comes into its own. Okay? The singularity, people. Anyway, lastly, we're going to cover vigilante news. I guess we'll just run over this real quick. Arsonist who targeted Governor Josh Shapiro's home gets up to 50 years. There's a picture of him. I mean, I don't know what it is about arsonists, but they look like real losers all the time. They make me sad, actually. If you look at the picture of the Palisades arsonist, and you look at this guy, Governor Josh Shapiro's home arsonist or whatever, you kind of want to like gingerly give them a hug, gingerly, and kind of like you want to like not touch chests. You want to just kind of put your hands around them and not really touch them with anything, but maybe the palm of your hand, you just tap them between the shoulder blades like quickly, and then you burn the shirt that you were wearing when you did that. But you want to give them a hug, you want to give them a hand, you want to give them an encouraging word, because they seem disturbed and like they need a friend. And I can probably be very wrong about that. And I can think that. And then the next thing I know, the guy's trying to set me on fire. He set me on fire. Now I'm running down the street on fire. I don't know. But like I said, this is, I don't know what this is. Arsonist, I think pyromania, is that still even a medical term that people use? I don't know. But people who engage in this activity and have that compulsion, they do need mental help. And where is the drug for them? Where is the help for them? Nowhere. Because when somebody actually has a mental health problem, no one can help you. That's the problem here. But everyone else who needs to get a leg up in the company and get a raise, and they need some of that white powder courage up the nose to get it, they get all the drugs they want and then some. So I don't know what to think of that. Yeah. Also, I was like watching The View, and RFK Jr.'s wife was on it. It's a gaggle of hens over here, just talking to this bitch. And it's just kind of, you know, this is where we're at. Everything is social engineered. Everything is controlled. Everything that needs to be under control is under control. And even the lack of control in certain areas is controlled to not completely drive us insane. But it's also not working. Because with AI and algorithms and shit, there's like an unprecedented level of control they don't even have control over. And I think that's partly what's deranging people. But anyway, I gotta go. That's a whole fucking can of worms I just opened. So I gotta go. Thank you for listening to the Melissa Diaz Report. I have been Melissa Diaz, and this was the Melissa Diaz Report. And now it's over. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Stay tuned for next Monday when I'm back with more news, more rants, more bitching, more prophecy. In the meantime, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope to have you tune in soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks again. All right. Bye.